Collective Insights is a voyage through topics and technologies revolutionizing human well-being. Groundbreaking approaches for a better world and a better life await you. Welcome to Collective Insights.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Neurohacker Collective podcast. My name is Daniel. I'm with research and development here at Neurohacker Collective, and we are really excited to have Ben Greenfield here with us today. Most of you probably know who Ben is. Ben is one of the top triathletes in the world and also one of the top trainers in the world, has been voted top trainer of the world in the past, and is really at the very leading edge of the biohacking movement and biohacking education, as long as along with other aspects of kind of personal development. And Ben has a really unique, as far as I'm aware, really unique approach of being extremely high tech and cutting edge in his application of science, while actually being really disciplined in his practice of the embodied techniques, the things we've known for a long time, and foundational techniques. It's pretty common that people who are very into tech either use it as a kind of bypass for some of the foundational things, or have some kind of lack of embodied awareness, or those who are really oriented towards foundational things end up shunning new tech. And so Ben really does the synergy of these brilliantly, and has also been willing to be right at the cutting edge of experimenting with peptides, chemistry. As you can see, he's in an all red environment, which even on a podcast, he does late at night, because that is what is best for his circadian rhythms and mitochondria. And so really want to talk
about Ben. Just do it so it looks like we're in Bangkok in the red light district, dude. That's the only reason. I've got the go-go girls waiting in the back.
This is Ben's other business, how he actually makes his money. Excited to have Ben here. And, you know, he's talked about most of the topics that you could talk about on lots of podcasts. I really kind of wanted to talk about explorations from the edge of someone who's been willing to do personal N=1 exploration on not only kind of all the different cutting edge transcranial stimulation, neurofeedback, light therapies, SARMs, hormones, et cetera, but also intersections of many of those. So Ben, thank you for being here with us.
And thank you for having me. And should I get called out on this, I should clarify, I am not the top triathlete in the world, although I did compete professionally for several years in triathlon, and including the Ironman World Championship several times, where I did quite a bit of experimentation early on with things like ketones and ketosis back before they were popular and back when they tasted like jet fuel. I was never ranked as one of the top triathletes in the world, so I just want to make sure we get that out there. However, I can claim that for obstacle course racing like Spartan, just not for for triathlon.
Thank you for correcting me there. So what I would love to hear, and just to dive in, is amongst all the various things that you have done in the field of personal optimization, and I know that you also happen to kind of be unique and not just focused on bio-optimization, but life planning, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual work. But let's start kind of on the bio front. What are some of the things that you feel have been the most fascinating, profound, effective that you have experienced, whether or not you'd recommend them for general audiences so far?
You know, I suppose we'd have to chunk those into specific categories, right? Like brain or digestion or recovery or fast improvements in fitness or sleep, et cetera, because I would say that it would be difficult to choose just one. But if we were to, you know, kind of like go through a quick list, if I were to name those sectors and say one thing that I've done that has made the biggest difference, for example, beginning with brain, and I'll choose things that would involve someone flying across the globe, but things that instead people could do in their own home who are watching right now. So I'll leave out, like, you know, neurofeedback or, you know, BioCybernaut Institute, you know, things like that, instead just things that you can do on your own at home. I would say for the brain, one thing that flies under the radar and is related to your mention of the red light is what's called photobiomodulation, in which one would attach a headset, typically accompanied by a nasal probe, so you hit all that good neural tissue in the nasal cavities. And what photobiomodulation does is two things. Number one, it increases mitochondrial activity of cellular tissue or cells in neural tissue, by activating something called cytochrome C oxidase, which also results in an increase in nitric oxide and a small number of reactive oxygen species, which we've all been taught to believe are bad, but are in fact, in small amounts, relatively good in terms of inducing a hormetic effect on the body, in this case, on neural health. And so a device like this, for example, there is a company called Vilite that makes one called the Neuro, which operates at about a 10 hertz frequency, which is very good for cognition. It's like a cup of coffee for the brain. It helps with jet lag, helps with, you know, cognitive function in the morning. And it can even be used prior to a workout because nitric oxide it's a small gas. It can cross the blood-brain barrier. So it allows you to have better vasodilation to muscle tissue as well. So that'd be like an example for the brain. If we were to move on and say an example for sleep, you know, we've all seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with electrostimulation, changing personalities and frontal lobotomies and all that good stuff. I've never gotten a frontal lobotomy. It's on the top of my list to do, let me tell you. But I have...
Help you in the moment more.
Yeah, exactly. Help me be in the moment more. There's a device made by a company called Fisher Wallace that has been shown in clinical studies to decrease cortisol and increase serotonin and dopamine production. It's two electrodes placed on either side of the head near the ears, about in line with the eyebrows. And you attach this to your head before you went to sleep or before you take a nap. I took a nap with one this afternoon. I had an early morning, so I dosed with actually dosed with Qualia this morning, along with a microdose of LSD, and worked very hard until about 2 or 3 p.m., and then it was time to kind of shut down the brain because I knew that, you know, tonight my family is coming home from while my kids are at Awana's and my wife is off shopping. They'll come home for dinner later on. I want to be present. I don't want to be tired. So I took a nap, but I attached this device called the Circadia, made by Fisher Wallace, to take me from 100% steam rolling ahead in the office to sleeping like a baby for about 50 minutes. And so that's an example of a relatively new and, you know, biohack that isn't talked about a lot, but that one's called the Circadia, and it's essentially electrostimulation for the side of the head. If we were to talk about fitness, I would say a big game changer lately has been switching very rapidly during high intensity interval training, which we all know about, but switching very rapidly between hyperoxia and hypoxia. When you do that, you get vasodilation and vasoconstriction, not only of blood vessels leading to the brain, so it's excellent for cognitive function, but of course to the muscle tissues that you happen to be working. And so to achieve this, there is a company that makes a device that allows you, with pressing one button and wearing a special mask that you use while exercising, so you place this next to a stationary bicycle or a treadmill like I'm walking on right now, or a rowing machine, whatever, and you would flip it on, and with the flip of a switch, be able to switch between hyperoxia and hypoxia for, let's say, a 15-minute workout that would be comprised of a 45-second sprint at hypoxia, and then 15 seconds to top you off for a minute at hyperoxia, full oxygen, and then recover at, depending on your fitness levels and your rate of recovery, either hypoxia or hyperoxia, and repeat for a total of 15 minutes, right, after a good warm-up or good cool-down. That comes out to, you know, 6 to 10 intervals that you'd do. There's a company called Livo2, just like it sounds, without an E though, LIVO2, that makes a device that you can use for this type of thing. You could place it in your office or in your home gym. It's too large to throw in the back of your car and bring to a gym, but it's great for home use. So that would be an example for fitness. Moving on, if I could, I'll throw in two more examples. Let's say another area that people tend to be quite interested in, and that would be their stress and the health of their nervous system, and specifically activation of the vagus nerve, which is probably the most important reflection of your nervous system. You know, I test mine every morning using what's called heart rate variability. It wanders from the brain through the entire body, or most of the body, including your digestive system. And so health and what's called tone of the vagus nerve is extremely important. So every morning, what I do is kind of a cluster of activities to increase the health of my vagus nerve. And specifically, the one that I'll do most frequently is I have an infrared sauna. And I'll go in the infrared sauna after preheating it. And the infrared sauna has been shown to increase growth hormone, collagen production, muscle maintenance, blood flow, that nitric oxide production I was talking about earlier, a host of benefits, including vagal nerve tone. Whenever you expose yourself to extremes of temperature like heat or cold for small amounts of time, it does increase vagal nerve tone. So what I'll do is I'll go in there, and about 30 minutes prior to going in there, I take these days a supplement called Nyalipin, which is essentially something that causes like a flushing reaction. So you get an enormous amount of vasodilation. And I'll go into the sauna, and typically I'll have an essential oil in there to improve focus and cognition. Usually I'll use something like pine or rosemary or cinnamon or peppermint that I sprinkle around the sauna. And this sauna is it's made by a company called Clearlight, which means it has very low levels of EMF, non-native electromagnetic fields, and it also is large enough to do something like yoga in. It's called a sanctuary sauna. So I have sound in the, or I have a aroma in the sauna, heat, of course, Nyalipin in my body, which is like niacin, and then I introduce sound in the form of sound frequencies used for healing. You know, I just got back from Sedona, Arizona, where a guy worked on me with a gong and a didgeridoo and crystal healing bowls. It's very interesting if you delve into the world of sound frequency. But I also have specific tones designed to elicit certain emotions like love, peace, joy, and of course, activation of that vagus nerve. The ones that I'm using right now are called whole tones, made by a composer named Michael Tyrell, who I actually happen to be interviewing tomorrow morning for my podcast. So I'll play those in the sauna. So I'm blasting myself with healing sound frequencies, and humming and chanting and singing along are really good ways to also activate the vagus nerve. I've got the blood flow for my body. I have the aroma. And then, of course, the light from the sauna that heats, but also this particular sauna has what's called chromotherapy built into the top. And this means that by looking at specific colors, you can also elicit certain emotions. The one that I use in the morning is a blue light, which induces wakefulness. In the evening, typically I'll use green or red or purple. Orange would be another good one for wakefulness. So I do the sauna, and then I progress from the sauna to go jump into the cold, either a cold shower or a cold soak or a cold pool. And I'll stay in there for 2 to 5 minutes just doing some head dunks. And that's very necessary. It's why I don't like those cryotherapy chambers, because you don't induce vagus nerve activation. You don't induce what's called the mammalian dive reflex. So cold water submersion is better, or cold water shower, anything that hits your face, your head, your neck. But I'll finish up with that. And that's an excellent morning routine for the nervous system. You know, and I talked about, you know, the fitness and the brain and the sleep, but of course the nervous system is incredibly important as well. Finally, I would say if I could choose one other body system, we could go with, let's say for example, digestion. Digestion would be an interesting one. So as we age, the tone of our colon tends to change, our large intestine. And, you know, many people have bathroom problems because of this. They tend to have constipation. Sometimes you tend to have low levels of good bacteria in the colon. This is a relatively new hack for me. After some large intestine issues I personally experienced, was I found a specific vitamin called a glytamin, GLYTAMIN. And it's comprised of cacao butter. I believe there's some butyric acid in there. There's some antioxidants, some amino acids, but all are designed to rapidly heal, from just inflammation, life, you know, straining when you use the restroom, digesting food. We all do these things, you know, we beat up our digestive system over time, but think of this as like an antioxidant for your butt, which would be a great title for today's podcast, by the way, Daniel, antioxidants for your butt. But it heals tissue in the colon, reduces spasticity, and essentially gives you the asshole of a newborn baby. So that would be one that I've done lately for digestion. I'm trying to choose things that, you know, don't get talked about too much, but that are helpful. It's basically a suppository. You just put it in after you've had your day's first bowel movement, and it just does its thing as you go about your day. And no, you don't need to clinch. It doesn't fall out. It stays in there quite well. So those are a few examples, man.
So this is a good run through some interesting things in different categories. One of the other categories you mentioned was regeneration. So healing after workouts, mm-hmm. healing after injury,
yeah.
especially non-vascular tissue like ligaments, tendons. Talk about that.
Sure. You know, one thing that is available for purchase on a variety of websites, and I've done a couple stories on this on my own website, if you need to link to them in the show notes or in the resources for people. But there are these things called peptides, and peptides are just extremely short chains of amino acids. For example, a dipeptide would be just two amino acids linked together. You know, you can get up to a polypeptide, which is more amino acids than that all linked together. Polypeptides all linked together can comprise a muscle tissue. And there's, you know, as you go up the chain, the peptides get larger and larger. We're building organs, et cetera. But very, very small peptides do not have to be broken down. When you eat a steak, you have to break that down into its constituent amino acids and then those into the different peptides. But what you can do is you can actually purchase these peptides, and they go by names such as BPC-157 is one popular one that is legal according to the World Anti-Doping Association and USADA. Another example of a more powerful one that doesn't fall under the bounds of legality for athletes competing in sanctioned sports, but is useful for the average person just wanting to rapidly heal an injury or muscle tissue, is called a TB500, thymosin beta-500. And what you do is you order these, and they're not that expensive. They're pennies on the dollar compared to, you know, stem cell injections or platelet-rich plasma therapy or something like that. And you inject them just with a basic insulin syringe, subcutaneously, pretty painless, into whatever joint happens to be bothering you. You know, I injected my knee this morning with BPC-157 because I had a kind of a tough workout last night and my knee was feeling it. But peptides are quite fascinating in terms of their safety and their efficacy. I mean, your body makes, for example, BPC-157 is made in your stomach to heal tissue in the gut. However, you can purchase it and you can inject it just about anywhere, and it's extremely efficacious. A host of studies showing both safety and efficacy for something like peptides. So that would be an example of something someone could use for recovery that again isn't talked about in, say, you know, Men's Health magazine or Prevention magazine, but I found to be an extremely effective little hack for recovery.
BPC-157 is a great example of something that has just profound therapeutic application, but because it can't get patented as a, you know, endogenous body compound, it's just not going to get the pharma research that would move it into mainstream application. And either because something
that, that's right. If I could say, you know, that's why they have such funny, it's the same thing with SARMs, right? Like GW50919 or, you know, LGD5043, I think it's called, you know, a lot of these, they're called selective androgen receptor modulators, same thing. They can't be patented at this point or aren't being pursued as drugs by pharmaceutical companies. And the dead giveaway for that is they have very hard to remember names. They don't have the sexy names like Zyquil or Valium, you know, right? They're just numbers like a Star Wars robot.
But this is an important point that I want a lot of people to hear, because I think there are some people that still think if something was really meaningfully therapeutic and safe, it would be developed into a drug. And we wish that was the case, but the underlying fiscal structure and intellectual property structure is such that it costs a lot to take something through FDA approval for drug discovery. For the company to ever be able to make its money back, it's got to be able to have a patent on it. If the thing is already patented or it's unpatentable, either because it comes from a plant or a body extract or it's an old chemical, it's just never going to get the research that moves it to the place of, in the current environment, popular utilization. So it's actually guys like Ben who are looking at animal trials, looking at, you know, what has the research that has been done and saying, hey, I'm actually willing to kind of explore this bodybuilder.
Right. If you look at something, you know, like the selective androgen receptor modulators, the SARMs I was just talking about, there are indeed pharmaceutical companies that are attempting to patent certain SARMs, like GlaxoSmithKline is currently working on a patent for one of the SARMs that's been proven to be, well, basically the most anabolic in male rodent models without causing carcinogenic properties and without resulting in what many SARMs do, which would be a decrease of your own production of things like luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone and things that allow you to produce your own androgens. Those are kind of the two major failures of SARMs, is one like Ostarine is the popular one a lot of people take. And granted, they were giving rats relatively high doses, but not as high as some bodybuilders are taking in some bro science forms, frankly, and causes cancer in rats at an extremely high rate, right? So that would be a SARMs that I would stay away from, right? You need to do your research. Other SARMs cause a pretty intense decrease in androgen production, you know, testosterone in men, or an extreme amount of over aromatization into things like things like DHT and things like estrogens. Far, far less than a steroid would, but still, they do result in that. And so many of them you need to cycle on and cycle off, right? Like use a SARMs for 8 weeks and then take 4 weeks off, for example, and switch to something that can help to increase androgen production, you know, like an herbal blend. You could use like, you know, tribulus, maca, you know, things along those lines. But ultimately, GlaxoSmithKline is working on a patent for SARMs that doesn't produce carcinogenicity and doesn't produce that steep fall in endogenous androgen production. So there are some pharmaceutical companies working on these, in fact, because they aren't, you know, like CBD. That's very tough to patent because it's such a natural molecule. SARMs, since they can be synthesized in a laboratory by pharmaceutical companies, you know, they are working on some of those. And I think we'll see them in the next several years as an actual drug brought to market and marketed for things like, sarcopenia or muscle wasting, or even, you know, potentially marketed by supplement companies for just general, you know, fitness.
So another thing that's important for listeners to follow is when Ben said it will be brought to market by drug companies for sarcopenia, which is, you know, wasting muscle loss in old age. Current regulatory landscape is that drugs have to be developed for diseases. Now, obviously, Ben and most athletes who are using them for optimization are not looking at disease cases. So typically the research happens in a disease case, and then we see do the same mechanisms apply, not just for keep bringing someone back to baseline, but being able to enhance their baseline beyond the previous capacity. Since it's such a fascinating topic, and I think you maybe share more about it than most people do, and we'll again just specify this is not medical advice and no one should construe this as medical advice.
I'm not a doctor, huh? Far from it.
Would you talk a little bit more about, for people who are seeking increased anabolic effects in their exercise, testosterone replacement therapy, how to increase endogenous testosterone, SARMs, aromatase inhibitors, how would you what are some of the interesting things in the space and how you'd have people approach it? And like you mentioned a number of SARMs, but you didn't say necessarily which ones you like for what purposes and how you'd have people explore them. Let's just dive in there a little more.
Okay, I'll go over a few things. First of all, if you were to experiment with one SARMs, I would say the one that's been referred to as exercise in a pill would be a relatively safe one to begin with that you would feel almost immediately in terms of fat loss, aerobic energy production, and a slight muscle gain. Not as large as some of the others, but also because of that, there's a reduced cancer effect. That one's called GW, I believe it's 50919 is the number. If you were to just search for GW SARMs, you know, exercise in a bottle, that type of thing. Technically, it's not a pill. Usually, they're sold as liquids. There's some companies now developing them as pills, but mostly you get a liquid form. You use the liquid dropper and take a very small amount, like a dropper full under the tongue. But the GW would be one that I would look into just for almost immediate, you know, effects and somewhat safe. You know, you just start with a normal dose, which would be about 10 milligrams. Now, when it comes to your question on testosterone, yeah, there's obviously, you know, a host of things that we hear talked about all the time for increasing testosterone, like, you know, sprint and use your legs when you work out and avoid chronic cardio and take your zinc and your magnesium. And, you know, we see herbs like, you know, everything from maca to tribulus to epimedium to bulbine all marketed. And those do make a little bit of an impact. A few that fly under the radar that I'd recommend. One would be, you know, obviously fresh in my mind right now because I'm being bathed in red light by a light panel off to my right. I'll take that same light panel and lean it against my desk while I'm working, like against my standing desk, and I'll jack my pants down and stand there in front of it nude for 5 to 20 minutes. And the reason for that is because, as I explained towards the beginning of this show, that concept of photobiomodulation causing activation of cytochrome C oxidase in neural tissue, Well, the same type of red light can also cause activation of mitochondria in the Leydig cells of your testes, which are responsible for producing testosterone. So you basically use red light, the wavelength you'd be looking for. And there's a company called Joovv, J-O-O-V-V, that makes a good light panel for this. The same one I have, it's literally on. That's what I'm using for the light in my office right now. 600 to 700 nanometers. Be careful with just buying random red lights on Amazon, because those can exceed 900 nanometers, and then you venture into the realm of testicular damage. But 600 to 700 nanometers of red light for about 5 to 20 minutes on the testicles can help tremendously with this. Another example, you know, I suppose it's related to testosterone, but it's libido for both males and females. There's a relatively new procedure in which an acoustic sound wave machine is used, very much like an ultrasound machine, to blast the gonads and the penis in men, and also they'll do this on the vagina and the clitoris in women. What it does is it breaks open old blood vessels and builds new blood vessels, and is great for things like, you know, orgasm in men's size and both sexes, more pleasure. Return of blood flow, should blood flow be an issue for you. And they'll often pair this type of procedure, which again, isn't necessarily going to have a hormonal effect, but definitely has what many of us are looking for when we're looking for a hormonal effect, a sexual enhancement effect. They'll follow this up with injection of what are called platelets. And platelets, they've been around for a while. The technical term is PRP, or platelet-rich plasma therapy. Very, very cool procedure. You go in, you get your blood taken, they spin your blood in a centrifuge. It concentrates the little white blood cells and red blood cells and the growth factors specifically from the white blood cells in a tube. They take just those growth factors, which are kind of like those peptides I talked about earlier, and they inject them into tissue, including they could inject the lips of the vagina or the penis or any area where they wanted to induce growth after doing that acoustic sound wave therapy. So that's, you know, the testosterone would be something more red light therapy. The other one, the sound wave therapy and the PRP, would just be more sexual performance. And, you know, there's a host of other things one could do for testosterone, but in terms of a recent one, you know, I try to talk about things that they can't just like find anywhere else. So I'll give you a very good stack that I found to be great for libido and testosterone. And, what you do is you take maca root, and then there's another supplement. There's a company called Tree of Life that makes it. It's called something like Turkanista, something along those lines. I have some, been using it for about the past week and noticed massive improvements in everything from motivation to sex drive and libido, to performance in the weight room. So that's a good stack. It's maca root. I believe it's, Turkanista, Turkanista. If you were to search for something like that plus the word testosterone in Google, you'd probably see it come up. And again, the company I got mine from was called Tree of Life. So that's an interesting supplement stack.
Ben, something that you might find fun is just in our R&D lab, we built a libido, androgen, testosterone performance formula. We're never going to sell it through Neurohacker just because of the stigma and laws and all like that, but we looked at everything from the nitric oxide that was involved to the PDE4 and PDE5 inhibitors to the androgens, and just basically worked with all the chemicals that could support all the endogenous pathways, and it has been profoundly effective. And so I will, yeah. When we make the next batch up, I'll send some to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, put some in the mail. Hey, I've got about 5 minutes before my family comes home for dinner. What else do you want to delve into?
So one of the things we've talked about at Neurohacker a lot is sleep, specifically because it's relevant to all of the other things, right? Relevant to recovery, to cognitive function, to digestive function. So you were talking about the Fisher-Wallace as a kind of transcranial e-stim device for sleep. But I know you've done a lot of other things for sleep. Obviously, you're in red light right now, but you've also done PEMF devices. Talk a little bit more about some of the things that you have found, additional things that you found meaningful for sleep.
Sure. And that Circadia device by Fisher-Wallace works quite well. But I would recommend you pair that with a couple of things. And this might sound laborious, but I mean, heck, a good night's sleep is a good night's sleep. It's a life changer. So I use noise blocking headphones. I just use the regular Bose noise blocking headphones, but I turn the little battery operated thing on the side off. It still blocks noise really well, even when it's turned off. And then I'll blast through those headphones. And I use a very soft feather pillow, about a 650 down feather pillow that allows your head to sink into the pillow. A hard pillow will force those headphones up against the sides of your ears, especially if you're a side sleeper. But a soft pillow, you won't even notice. Although they do make a set of headphones called sleep phones, which are more like a soft headband that you can wear. I like the noise blockers. I'm training myself currently to sleep on my back, which is a game changer for people like myself who have a small amount of spinal scoliosis. But currently I can sleep on my side with these noise blocking headphones. And I use two separate apps, both of which can be operated in airplane mode because my bedroom just goes into, you know, kind of like non-electricity while I'm asleep. One is called SleepStream, which is like a DJ for sleep. It allows you to do binaural beats, which lull you into whatever brainwave frequency that you set SleepStream to have you at. And then I also, at the same time, because both of these apps will play at the same time, I pull open brain.fm, where I've downloaded some of their 8-hour long overnight tracks onto my phone. So again, the phone can stay in airplane mode. And I play brain.fm and SleepStream simultaneously on the noise blocking headphones. I mentioned the Circadia device, which I more often use for naps, not overnight, because you get to a point where there's too many things in your head. However, in addition to those noise-blocking headphones, I use a full wraparound sleep mask made by Sleep Master, which serves two functions, to block light and also hold the headphones more closely on the head. In the same way that I am diffusing a rosemary essential oil right now while we're discussing, you know, I've just got this little diffuser right here. So I've got the same diffuser set up next to the bedstand, but I'll diffuse lavender in it for sleep, or sandalwood, or, you know, something sexier than that for sex. And I'll use aroma in the bedroom as well. And lavender is a very good one for sleep. Rose is a close second. Bergamot is another very good one. So you can experiment with different scents. So we have our aroma. We've blocked out light. I use what's called a chili pad, which circulates water at about 60 degrees underneath my body while I sleep, because you do get deeper activation of deep sleep when you do that. I also ground and I earth when I sleep. I don't really use an earthing mat too much because it blocks that chili pad, but I use a device called the Earth Pulse, which I can place underneath the mattress, which will just send a gentle, natural electrical frequency, same as if I was sleeping on the surface of the planet underneath the bed while I'm asleep. So I'm grounded, I'm earthed, just as though as I were camping outside. A couple other quick things. In the bedroom, the only lighting is red. I use the Sleepy Time bulbs, made by a company called Lighting Science. They also make one called a Good Night Bulb that is essentially the same thing. And then as far as supplements go, you know, my stack, my favorite stack is I use one called a Sleep Remedy, which is it's basically pH gamma immunobutyric acid, which is an inhibitory neurotransmitter, along with a little bit of vitamin D, a little bit of magnesium, a very small amount of melatonin, et cetera. But I use that and I stack that with cannabidiol. And there's actually a blend that admittedly my own company makes right now. It's a blend of ashwagandha, lemon balm, magnesium, and some natural relaxants, along with curcumin, an anti-inflammatory, and cannabidiol without any THC. So I'll usually combine CBD and Sleep Remedy for sleep, along with some of those other things I mentioned. And honestly, I sleep like a champ right now. It's amazing. And you know, we all know that we have a little bit more difficulty sleeping as we age, but that's kind of the setup I use.
So the sleep product you mentioned, where can people find it?
Which one?
The one that you said your company makes with the CBD.
That's at getnatureblend.com currently. Although with the realm of CBD, you know, a lot of times you got to change websites and change URLs. It's one of those weird things where payment processors think that CBD is marijuana, so they shut you down from having a website. Although in reality, it's legal in just about every state, and you know, you can ship it anywhere. But unfortunately, right now it's getnatureblend.com. That could change a year from now.
Is it also available or intended to be on your store at Ben Greenfield Fitness?
It is specifically intended not to be in that store, because when a payment processor shuts down a company from selling a specific supplement, that would keep any of the supplements that I endorse or anything I endorse, you know, my coaching and consulting services, the nutrition plans that I write, my books, everything would get shut down. So I just have that CBD as its own separate business and separate website.
Now, the Earth Pulse and the Chili Pad and the infrared lighting, many of the things that you recommend, you actually do carry on your store. So if people want to find these, they can go to your store, cruise around, and also see what you say about them in more depth, right?
They're either on the store, or if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com and you just do a search for the specific term you're looking for, say Earth Pulse or, you know, photobiomodulation or SARMs or anything, you'll come up with either an article or a podcast or both that I've produced on that specific product or technique or supplement.
Yeah, your site has a lot of great info. And if there are people who are wanting to figure out an appropriate SARM stack or wanting to figure out what would be an appropriate therapy to heal some joint issues they have or to train better, you are available for some consultation?
Yes, I am. If you go to greenfieldfitnesssystems.com, you click on coaching, and then you click on my name, you can find me. And I do everything from 20 up to 60 minute consultations with people from all over the world. And I also have a select number of people where I am basically the CEO of their health. I deliver them their exercise programs, their nutrition programming. I monitor their sleep, their nervous system, everything. So a lot of options.
I have one last question, and we'll let you get to dinner and your family. And I really appreciate everything you shared in your time here and your contribution to the space as a whole. So we've spoken about obviously just methods to help the body, but also methods for the body affecting the mind, emotional and cognitive. The other direction of things that you can do with your mind to affect your body, I know is something that you also focus on and have disciplines and trainings around. What is something that you can say about that in closing for people?
Something you can do with your mind that would affect your body?
Yeah.
I would say the number one thing is something that I do every single day, every single morning when I wake up, that has been shown to decrease blood pressure, decrease visits to the doctor, improve longevity, decrease production of cortisol, increase empathy, and result in a host of symptoms, a host of, not symptoms or consequences, but a host of effects associated with better happiness, better physiological status, and almost like an anti-aging effect. And that would be every single morning I write down one thing that I'm grateful for. And that's how I start every single day, writing in my little gratitude journal.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben. Delight to have you here on the podcast from your own red light district. And we will put in the show notes links to many of the things that you mentioned and to places where people can find more info on your site. And appreciate it and look forward to future dialogues.
Well, thank you. Or as they say in Thailand, Kap Kun Krap.
Have a good night. Thanks.
Night.
Thank you for listening to Collective Insights. For the full show notes on this episode and for more great interviews, visit us at neurohacker.com/collective insights. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.